For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Okay. I don't think they'll break, but better safe than sorry.
Smart.
I stopped and seen our buddy Brent yesterday.
Did you?
How's he doing?
He texted me on Friday and said that he... Was it Friday? It might have been Thursday. He was like, hey, I'm going to be in town. And I did not see it until I went to go home. Oh. And it was like 11 o'clock at night.
I saw he was in Joshua Tree not long ago. Ooh.
Yeah, he ran over there to pick up a bunch of rocks and stuff.
Yeah.
He has a rock store in Muncie.
Rock Daddy.
Yeah, and so I was talking with him and I was like... You know what you should do? Because all the rocks he found, he was just shipping them home in a big container. And I was like, you should just ship that over to Kim's house.
We've never told that story on here. So
I thought we did. Mm-mm. All those boxes? Yeah, we had to have.
I don't think so.
I think that we did. If you don't know, if we didn't, then the gif of the whole thing is I played a trick on Kim one day. And
shocked.
It was during Black Friday, I think, and Cyber Monday, and I bought a bunch of stuff, and I specifically asked them to ship everything individually. And so as Kim got to her house one day, her porch was full.
One day. It was two flipping weeks. Every package.
Well, I'm glad you're not sour about it.
I'm not sour at all.
Her cameras would keep going off. Yeah, Kim was like, my camera's going off again. My camera's going off again. She's like, at one point in time, Shane, FedEx was at my house. UPS was at my house. Amazon was at my house. The Postman was at my house.
At the same time.
You know, if she didn't have you in her life, she would have been sitting at home just alone.
Nothing a bitch about.
Nobody would know. Hey, I told him. Producer Kim.
I told him if he ever done that again, I would never speak to him.
Oh, and I'm so tempted. I'm so tempted.
For 5 whole minutes.
Right.
Oh, no.
She'd be so alone.
No, I was so sick of moving boxes. Hundreds of boxes. Hundreds. We're not talking about 10. We're talking about hundreds of packages.
I did think that she was over-exaggerating. Until
you saw.
I got to her back porch.
You're like,
oh, and they were like stacked.
My whole back porch full of shit.
I have some pictures.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh. And I texted, I was like, well, I'll open all the boxes and merge it all, but it's going to take me more than one load.
Well, he used to do that to me and Grandma. He used to be able to send, like, mass texts.
Oh, yeah.
And depending on the phone, you could send anywhere from, you know, 100 texts to a few thousand.
Oh, yeah.
And it would completely shut down our phones for hours.
Yeah,
I mean, you couldn't do anything if you tried to call, if you tried to text back.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just one message after another, notification, just over and over.
And that was back when, you know, before smartphones, clearly. But then also, like, when you got an incoming text like that, it would just take over your phone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Text. And it wasn't like you could turn your phone off because as soon as you turn it back on, ding,
individual,
ding,
yeah.
Ding, ding.
So I did that a couple times.
Over and over. You'd
then after the hour,
start off slow too, like ding, ding. And, you know, usually Grandma and I would be doing the dishes or just watching TV and our phones would be, you know, it was before like smartphones. Yeah. So people just didn't have their phones on them all the time. And ding, ding. Grandma was like, well, shit fire. Who's in there texting me somebody? Ding, 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 ding. God damn, she'd run in there and dry her hands off. Look, you know, it takes her a second to see. Watch, shit, ding, ding, ding. Oh, shit. Starts screaming. Thinks she broke her phone.
Yeah.
I don't know what shit's wrong with.
I remember him doing, he used to do something like that to me too, only he would send me one letter at a time.
Oh, yeah.
To try to tell me what he wanted to tell me.
Yeah.
You monster.
I swear. I don't know how I've put up with you for 10 years. I really don't.
I've got 34 under my belt.
Yeah, but you were forced to. I wasn't.
That's true.
Yeah,
I was a child with him.
You were born into it, Josh.
Poor guy. I feel bad.
Yeah, I used to love to do that stuff.
No, I was just as ornery, Kim. I can't say nothing. I was a biter. That's how I used to get revenge on his ass. He'd do something. Oh, that's true. I'd get in trouble, and I'd be like, I didn't bite him. Meanwhile, my teeth marks are still red in his arm.
And then I'd do his chapstick.
Oh, but Brent bought back some really gorgeous opals.
Oh,
and cute. I told him, I said, I've always wanted an opal ring. And I went and was looking. He does have some really
pretty ones. He makes some. Get you one purse. Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Act like it's your anniversary and buy your own ring.
Hey, I'm sure you could
exchange. I've done that before.
I know.
Serve. Yeah, right.
What will it take for me to get that opal ring?
Make me a ring or a... take off the pants.
There was a couple that I really liked, but I don't have any money. I'm broke.
Well, maybe he'll let you work.
She's
it off.
Broke, bitch.
Yep, broke, bitch.
You guys have anything fun going on this week?
What is this week? Today's daylight savings. I'm going to start getting outside and start going back to the woods now. I told myself I'd make myself do it when daylight savings.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just in the winter. I mean, I ain't lying. I'm a hibernator. I'm cold natured.
Oh, yeah.
Indoors under the blanket, I've got a chill. So just anything outside, I've got a few minutes. And then, like, my hands hurt. My ears hurt. Like, I'm just miserable.
Right.
So I really just... And it feels like it's just been a long winter.
Right.
I feel like I haven't been outside much since like October.
Yeah.
I miss it. She's like, damn it, would you stop? I'm trying to bark.
I know.
At nothing. At literally the wall. Nothing
I
out
hear
there.
Someone walking.
Oh, that's probably maybe one of those.
Christopher walking.
Did you guys see? Is that the guy who died? No. What was that guy's name who they found him?
Gene Hackman.
Yeah,
oh,
Gene.
Him and his wife.
Yeah, and the dog.
Yeah. They released it.
Yeah, they released what they thought happened. Did you guys hear that?
I believe it was gas poisoning. Sad.
No.
No.
They thought that could have been it.
Oh.
Yeah. But she died from...
So they believe she died first from a virus that's common to come from rats. Ooh. It's very deadly.
Some kind of a virus. And then he had Alzheimer's really bad.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And so I guess he died about a week after she died.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and so they believe that he was just so far into Alzheimer's, he probably didn't know.
The dog just starved.
Yeah, and so they found the dog in the kennel.
Oh.
And the way that they found the dog, they knew that it had been in the kennel since it returned home probably a day or two before maybe the wife died.
Oh.
But it had some type of procedure that was done. And so I'm guessing that whatever procedure it was, they still had like some remnants of it on the dog. And so I'm guessing that the dog did starve.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Just a crazy scenario that played out, though.
Yeah. I seen some pictures of them on the news when they were talking about it. And they must have been more recent pictures. And he just looked horrid. Mm-hmm. He looked so bad.
Did you guys notice that? I guess I just don't remember ever hearing it. Maybe like they just keep it out of the news. But it seems like a lot of celebrities are having dementia. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Bruce Willis.
Bruce? He has that. And then so does... How you doing?
Oh, Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams, yeah.
Well, it's more common than people realize.
Sure.
But it's been kind of treated the same way like any other psychological condition has throughout time, to where it's like, you know, oh, we don't talk about it.
Right.
Which, I mean, even from having the experience of working in it, a lot of people whose family get it, they can't handle it themselves.
Uh-huh.
They just would rather, you know, put them in a facility where they are being taken care of, but to where they don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know, just the thought of not being aware and losing your identity. A lot of people just can't.
It'd be hard
to even think about it on another person. They just don't.
But sometimes those people also get a little violent. Yeah. So that would
sometimes
be difficult
they do,
too.
Yeah, that necklace you had made for me. It was my favorite necklace. It was that aquamarine Czechoslovakian Eiffel Tower design necklace. I still have it, but it's broken because I wore it like my first week at the nursing home. And this old man with dementia having a rough day, and he just didn't know who I was. And he was like, what's that around your neck? And just pulled it, and it didn't break the chain, but it like pulled the little like wire part. I was like, ah.
Yeah, when I worked there at that same place, there was an old lady that had dementia, and every time she seen me, she swore up and down that I stole her wedding rings.
Oh, yeah.
And she was so mad, and she would just cuss at me and yell you at thief. Me. Once. Yeah, she swore that I was the one that took it. And I knew where it went. Her husband had taken it.
Right.
Taken it back with him so that it wouldn't get lost. But nope, I was the one that took it. But that disease is probably the worst, one of the worst things, because you lose them twice.
Yeah.
You know, my grandma had it, and I took care of her for four or five years, and then she was in a nursing home for another 4 years. And by the time we put her in the nursing home, her personality was pretty much gone.
Right.
And she hadn't been in the nursing home but a few months, and she fell and broke a hip. So then she was pretty much bedridden. And it's the worst, because you lose them as a person, and then you finally, after so many years, you finally lose their bodies.
Yeah.
So well, it was so hard.
I think that's part of the reason why it seems like it's more common. It's just, it's more talked about now.
That's true.
Who was it? I believe it was Barbara Walters. She had...
Yeah, I remember learning that.
No one knew until after she... Yeah. Like, she just completely... I kept herself isolated for her final years, like, never left the house, and that would be horrible.
Yeah, yeah. And you would think that, like, just, it would be nice over time. I feel like the more people that talk about it and, like, put it out there... I think more people will be aware of it and want to find a way to help prevent it or offer some type of way to stop
help cope living with it.
Mm-hmm.
And
they've done research on it for a long time, trying to find a way. Yeah.
It is getting better too. They're finding not so much as a cure, but ways to find it sooner.
Mm.
So you can help, like, who is it? Chris Hemsworth, the actor who plays Thor.
Mm-hmm.
He was with test was able to identify that he will develop it when he gets older. But now that he is so young, when he identified that, there are, you know, steps that you can do to help put off the effects.
That's
of
amazing.
It. There's even a video, since it'll progress, you know, when he's an older man, he won't recognize his wife when they're old. Mm-hmm. So she had like a makeup crew come in and did a whole like blind date with him and had him make her look like she would when she's like in her 60s to 70s. And that way he would, you know, can see her of what she'll look like when his memory's gone. Like, that's so
that's sweet. A little extra. I don't like that.
I'm like,
that's a little weird.
It's a cute thought, but I'm like, that's rich people stuff.
Yeah, that is. That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I was
they had like a Hollywood makeup crew come in. And, like, I mean, she looks like an old person who is Estelle Getty. Sophia Petrillo, she had dementia.
Yeah.
And even the last few seasons of The Golden Girls, you'll see her with like a box of raisins in her hand, or, you know, she'll have a lot more things in her hand because she was struggling remembering the script. So she would have to find ways to...
Yeah, and they would write it on big boards, I guess, and have it write off. So sometimes she'll be saying lines and she'll look off the screen. That's why.
I don't think I ever noticed that.
Yeah.
You will now.
Yeah, you'll notice it now.
There's one especially. She has a box of raisins just sitting there eating.
Yep, reading off of the script.
Those are hard.
I know.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
It's a sad, sad disease.
I see it sad, but I also see it, you know, it's sad for the people around them, but for that person, they're not aware, which, you know, at least there's that silver lining.
Yeah.
And they might not be aware of what they forgot, but that still doesn't mean that, you know, every day is miserable.
Yeah.
Those people at the nursing home, they weren't aware that it was 2021.
I think they do get like moments of more lucidness. I think my grandma did, because when I took care of her at home, she, you know, just kind of wandered around the house. But every once in a while, she would wander around the house and she'd just start crying. Like, she knew that something was wrong, but she didn't know what it was. And it was just, it was so hard.
Some days are, it's like they don't have it. And then other ones, that movie, The Notebook, how he would tell the story of their lives together and it would help pull her memory back. Mm-hmm. That's true. you can do things like that to help pull. Music was the best thing I found with it. Mm-hmm. But even things can worsen it. That's how we would know if female resident had like a yeast infection or, you know, some type of infection where in her body is, if her suddenly her dementia just
got worse.
We're like, oh, she's got
some infection.
Yeah, we need to get the doctor in here.
Yeah. When grandma, she started, you know, regressing, she called, she had my mom and my uncle Butch. And then years later, his name was actually Paul. But and then years later, she had Scott. And Scott was born when my mom was like 15 or 16. So he was a lot younger. And then I'm only 5 years younger than Scott. So she called Scott and I Butch and Vic.
Oh, yeah. You know,
because her mind, that's where her mind was at, was back then. And it's sometimes it was, we'd like be going, yeah. Sometimes we would kind of correct her and she'd say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. And other times it's once she got to a certain point, it's like it didn't make any difference because she's still not going to.
Right. Yeah. We were always taught to never correct them, just go along with it.
Yeah.
And I mean, hell, have fun with it.
Yeah.
They think it's. Mm-hmm. You know, during World War II, yeah, come on. Da, 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 da.
That's the best music anyway.
Right.
The type of music. Yeah. I love that music.
Oh, it's your wedding day, honey? Well, let's give you a manicure. You can't go walking down the aisle. Oh, let's get that chin plucked. Can't go down the aisle with a hairy chin, can you? Go lift that veil and scream, honey.
So today is my mystery, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. Wow. So I thought, you know, what type of mystery do I want to cover? Do I want to cover alien? Do I want to cover murder? Do I want to cover missing? There's just a lot of
green toenail. Right.
Cam, if you clean it, damn it.
That Lamisole monster screaming at us.
Right. So I thought, you know, with my mystery today, I want a little bit of mystery and a little bit of travel.
Ooh.
So we are going to travel today, gang. We are going to
Kim's travel. Taint. A little mystery, a little tang.
Oh my gosh, a little tang. So guys, we are traveling to the fascinating land of India today.
Ooh.
So I want you to picture vibrant markets. And you know, the markets of India are very interesting. You can see videos.
They got cows.
Right. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I always imagine...
It's a snake! Sorry, idiot.
One of the things I always imagine when I'm picturing going to India is all of the spices. I just... And maybe
the piles.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Piles of spices.
They're like in a pyramid shape. Yeah. Just the colors.
And I just assume that that's like, it's going to give the area a certain smell of spices that mm-hmm. just are going to be.
It's going to be a smell.
But also when I think of India, I always think of their towering temples. Yes. They just have those huge, massive temples.
Elaborately,
everywhere.
You know, carved.
Yeah. So beyond just all of that busyness of India, because of course, busy is what India is known for.
There. Yeah. Ooh, a lot of people.
So I want to zoom in for our destination. We're going to zoom in on a quiet location, ooh, a rocky hillside, and it's nestled in the state of Bihar. B-I-H-A-R. Bihar.
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 Mm-hmm. That state there.
So Barabar Caves is where we're going to be visiting. And this is a place that is over 2,000 years old.
Oh, wow.
And these caves are etched deep into granite hills. And around the granite hills, I mean, it's just very, very hilly. And you wouldn't expect to find these caves, first of all. But when you walk into them, they are absolutely amazing. And because of the inside being granite and polished, they echo, like there are echoing halls inside of these caves. So again, Josh mentioned how many people there are in India, and it's kind of out of my mind to think about. So the population of the United States is 335 million people. Mm-hmm. Kim, if you had to guess how many people were in India, which is a smaller country compared to us.
About like less than half the size, isn't it?
of yeah. India would be like less than half the physical size of the United States. Kim, if you had to guess how many people were in India, how many people would you guess?
I would say maybe the same as us.
335 million?
Yeah.
I'm guessing 2.3 billion.
So you both are way wrong. So it's in the middle, actually. So India has a population that's almost four times what we have, and that's 1.4 billion people. Wow. And one of my favorite comedians
and
is India.
Crowd.
Oh, I know, me too. And that's all that they are. I mean, there's no way around it. But one of my favorite comedians is Indian, and I absolutely love her. But one of the things she says is, you know, when I come to the United States, it's clear that everyone just thinks they're so special, you know. Oh, I'm just, everything revolves around me. And she's like, I'm literally one in a billion. You know, like, just think about that for a moment.
One in a billion.
I know. All I can think about is Miss Congeniality. Yeah. All right. So the sheer size of India, when it comes to population, it just also goes to show you like how diverse they are in terms of all of the languages, the cultures, and all of the religions. You know, I believe it's the two major religions of India is Hinduism and Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And
the caste system.
Right. Two widely different religions, but they're both very old, and there are huge temples devoted to each religion. One of the weird things about Hinduism, I think, for me, is just I can't remember names to save my life, and let alone trying to remember the name of all of these gods.
Vishnu.
You know? And it would be way too difficult for me.
I remember Vishnu.
Is that the one with all the arms?
I think that's the female. I know her name, but I can't think of it. I have the elephant-headed god.
Oh, yeah.
I have like a statue of him in my room.
Yeah, I got you.
But I'm bad at names too.
Oh, so beyond just Hinduism and Buddhism, they do have, is it Jainism? Jainism. I doubt that's it.
Oh, boy.
It's J-A-I-N-I-S-M.
Jainism.
Probably that, because if it's Jainism, I don't think that's it. But they also have Islam. Right. They also have Islam, and they have Sikhism, S-I-K-H-I-S-M.
Sikhism?
I don't know. Jainism and Sikhism. Guys, we're from India.
I'd be into it.
Don't hate us. Right. So, of course, like, there's a lot of people and a lot of culture going on. Well, ultimately, India is an ancient empire. But what's crazy about it is not only do they still have traditions that have lasted hundreds, if not thousands of years, and when you see pictures and videos, you can see that they still, like, it still has that feeling of an ancient civilization.
Mm-hmm. But they have soups that are older than our country.
Right. But mixed in with the ancient empire aspect is that they also are a modern tech hub. Like, they have a lot of high-tech things, and they develop them very quickly, and they do it great. So you kind of see like the old world and the new world kind of interacting with each other, and it's just a unique atmosphere. It kind of reminds me of like very rural ancient areas mixed in with a little bit of Japan.
Yeah.
You know, like when I think of Japan or South Korea, kind I think of like...
like steampunk.
Yeah, yeah. So they just have a lot of stuff going on. It's really cool. But ultimately, it makes India very unique because it just has the striking contrasts, but it also has a strong, vibrant energy behind all of it.
I want to go to India so bad.
I know, me
but
too.
I get anxiety in a crowded Walmart. Have you seen pictures or videos of their trains and buses?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And just a bus with people hanging off of it because there's just so many people that, hang on to a window till you're stopped again.
Yeah.
Like, nope.
And also,
sit on the roof.
You'll see pictures of like the streets of people trying to drive, and there's just so many cars.
Oh,
and
my God.
No one follows the directions.
Just the thought of getting behind the wheel and having to drive with no street lights. Oh.
So
they don't have street lights at all.
A lot of European places don't.
And really? It'd be a waste. There's just so many cars on the road, and they're not staying within lines, and they're going everywhere.
Like Italy and France, streetlights aren't that not common. Too popular.
So for the Bear Bar Caves, like I said, these lie in Bihar. And historically, that area was called Magnada. In this area,
I don't think it was.
It probably was not.
I don't think so, Tim. I've been watching Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah. But that area was once home to powerful dynasties like the Maryas and the Gupatas.
Sure.
Yeah.
The good old Gupatas.
Gupatas. Yeah. So nearby in Nalanda, there's a famous ancient university there. So although not a lot of people go to the area that these caves are in, there is a very old ancient university in a nearby town. And because of that, it attracts a lot of scholars from all around the world to that town.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
So going back over some history, there was an emperor of that area, and his name was Ashoka. And that emperor was a major figure in Buddhist history, in fact, and he governed the region. Well, that emperor also promoted Buddhism, and he also supported other ancient traditions. And one of the traditions, I was like, well, what other type of traditions did they have? One of them is a lesser known piece of it called Ashivika. And I'm going to say that that's how it's pronounced, but yeah.
Gesundheit.
Yeah. So I just want to do a little time traveling first and go back to the time period that these caves would have been created in. And that will give you a little history lesson, but also when I go to describe the caves, you'll get a little bit more like wowed, I think.
Not that they were, you said, like they were carved caves?
Yeah.
Not natural?
Yeah, they are carved. They were not natural. So in the 3rd century BCE, so more than 2,000 years ago, these caves were commissioned by that emperor. And it was during the Mauryan Empire. The caves are supposed to reflect the empire's inclusive spirit that the emperor wanted to have. And so he devoted those caves to that forgotten, lesser known sect of Buddhist religion. It was the Ajivikas, I think is how it's pronounced. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. But it wasn't a large sect of people. And like I said, not a lot of people even back then knew about them. It's kind of like a monk, like, you know, there's some monks that have like a sect of the religion. That's what these people were. Like, it's just a forgotten about sect.
It's crazy. A leader back all the way back then had more compassion.
Yeah. Well, he just wanted to include them and he wanted to be inclusive of all sects of
woke
the religion. Right. So because of that, he had these caves made for them. And although he was a devout Buddhist, these were not technically Buddhists. So it was, I mean, it's cool to see that back then, you know, an emperor who did not have the same beliefs as a small sect of people was still like, you know, I want to do something for you guys.
Right.
I'm going to have these caves made. So after the emperor died, his grandson continued supporting the caves for this sect of people. And we know that history because there are inscriptions from the era that still mark the entrances to the caves. Ooh. Yeah, it's up on the walls. Huh. And so it kind of gives you a little, hey, this is what was happening. This is why we made this and that sort of thing. So that's why we know when it was. Now, over time, Buddhists and people who follow Hindu, they would visit and they started repurposing the caves, you know, after the sect fell out of favor. So they started using them for their own purposes.
Orgies.
Right. So there are also inscriptions from different dynasties when different religions were falling into favor. And so it was difficult, from what my understanding, to like try to pinpoint which ones were the oldest. And they ended up figuring it out after a period of time that they are from the 3rd century BC. Now, local lore will talk about hidden treasures that were stored in these caves, and they're still somewhere in the cave, but hidden. Ooh. These caves aren't huge, but they are a cave, but I'll go into the details of them in a little bit. Now, local lore also talks about how when you are in them, there are some type of spiritual vibrations that you're going to feel because it's a very spiritual place over thousands of years.
Could be the echo.
Well, there are powerful echoes, and because of all of those things, monks will frequent these caves for meditating. So the Barabar Caves also inspired E.M. Foster's Barabar Caves. It's a passage to India, but it's like a documentary movie type of type of thing. But it is pretty cool, so I definitely recommend it if you're looking for something to watch. Now, before you enter these caves, I just want to walk you through what you'll experience and the area that you're going to see. It's a really cool area. It's very rural. There are barren granite hills.
She's right there, Shannon. Right. How dare you?
But these hills are all around, and there's scattered vegetation throughout the area. And ultimately, there's a network of some really old, old stone steps that you'll see as you approach various openings of these caves. Now, because there, you know, like I said, there's so many people in India. So for me, like, it was kind of weird to see photos and videos of the area because they are so secluded. So as I mentioned, this is a secluded area of India, but you will find, like, the only sound you're hearing is wind brushing across the stone. So I guess that it provides some type of interesting noise because the area has so much stone. Now, the first cave I want us to explore is called the Karan Chupar Cave.
Karan Chupar?
Yeah. Well, as you approach this cave, there are plain rectangular openings. It's one opening, but it's just plain. Like, there's no decoration to it, nothing. It's just a plain opening. That's granite, like a plain granite opening face. Now, when you look closely before you enter the cave, there are traces of chisel marks around the door, but it's not as ornate as some of the other caves that I'll bring us to. Now, when you walk in, this cave is roughly 34 feet long and 14 feet wide. And it's mostly flat all around the walls and the ceiling and the ground, but there is a mildly curved ceiling that's been made. Now, I mentioned that it's all granite, so it is very smooth. There are pieces on the floor where you'll see, though, that it's gently uneven, not as evened out as the walls or the ceiling. And when you look at photos of this cave, you will think that it is a cave that was recently made by really good technology. The walls have been polished and they still have like a sheen to them, like a nice shine. And there are inscriptions on the walls in some parts that will mention that emperor's dedication to having this cave built. Now, this cave is fully completed and used. And the polish and the layout are all intact, just as it was when it was completely made. Now, from that cave, we then travel just 5 minutes of a walk, and we're out in the hillside, rocky hillside. We walk up to a narrow rock cut path, and that curves around the hillside until we see the entrance to this cave. But also, you have to watch your step because footing in this entire area is very uneven, and you're very likely to fall
and there's snakes.
Maybe not survive. Yeah.
I would definitely fall.
I know they just found skeletal fossilized remains of a new giant snake species that used to exist. Previously, the Titanoboa from South America was the largest known snake to have ever have existed. I forget how large, like its head is like the size of that coffee table. It's a huge, like a relative of the anaconda. Well, the new one they found is not as long as the Titanoboa, but it was girthier. So by weight, it is now the
much bigger,
heaviest, the largest snake species to have ever have existed on Earth.
I'm not Googling it.
From India.
No, I'm not either.
That's crazy.
I was just like, oh, no.
So this cave is called the Sudama Cave. And the entrance is more pronounced. There's a bow-shaped arch at the top. It was created prior to this future Buddhist design that they called the Horseshoe Chaitya design. So it was much earlier than that design, but it once fell into popularity, but it predates it. But like I said, it's a really, really pretty design, a beautiful arch, and then you can walk into this cave. Now, the facade on the outside before you walk in, it's plain. It's just like the other cave. It looks like rock, basically. But as you enter, there are two chambers. The first chamber, they call the front chamber. And it is 29 feet long by 17 feet wide. It's a rectangular floor plan, and it has barrel vaulted ceilings. And then as you enter further, all the way to the other end, there is another entrance, like a little door entrance, and you walk into that, and there's a dome-shaped area that's 20 feet in diameter.
Sounds like Kim's ex-husband describing his wedding night.
Right. And between the front chamber and the inner chamber, you have to go through a narrow passage to get to that inner chamber. But inside of this entire cave, the walls are again polished, and so polished still that it reflects light. But because of how polished and how beautiful it is, there's almost like this mirror-like finish.
Wow.
When you look at it, like that's
just incredible to
2,000 years.
I mean, to polish rocks now, you have to have like a really good rock tumbler.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes weeks of just constant tumbling in there with grit and everything.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine hand polishing an entire room.
Right.
Well, even more than that, imagine that was all one big rock.
Yeah.
And they carved, like this one I said was...
They carved it smooth.
Yeah.
And then hand polished it. That's smooth. Crazy.
29 feet by 17 feet for the first part, then 20 feet in the back.
It took forever.
They're big. Oh, yeah. To carve all of that out and then hand polish all of it. But even to make it even further impressive, get this. I was reading an article about it to try to like figure out like how they could have done it. And they really don't know because they know they had to use all hand stuff 2,000 years ago.
Probably.
Aliens.
But these scientists were like, well, let's compare it to if we were to make it today. Like, what would it look like if we were making it today versus how they made it? And one of the things that shocked me is if you compare granite, like if you have a granite countertop.
Yeah.
The best that our machines can do on a scale, they use this type of scale to tell you how fine of a polish you did. And so the best that our scales can get to was, I think it was like an eight or a nine. It was nine. So nine is the absolute best you can get it to with our modern technology. Now, just when they use that same scale for glass, which is a perfect finish, it was a 0.1. So 0.1, perfect. Granite now, we can only get it to like a 9 on this scale. Well, when they measured what it was like in these caves, it was less than one.
Oh, wow.
So,
holy smoke.
9 times better than what we could do today. Like 2,000 years ago, more than 2,000 years ago.
I hate my granite countertops. Like
crazy, right?
I like a countertop that you can like cut on. Like,
yeah,
it's you don't have to worry about it. I hate having to get a. I like, you know, polishing it and taking care. I take care of them, but I want something I can just.
Right.
Those old white with gold speckled countertops of grandma's. Yeah. You could cut on them, anything. Mm. I feel like everybody had those.
That's the way mine is, and I hate it.
So, as I mentioned, we're talking about this cave. The dome in the inner chamber produces a very fascinating echo that's very unique. And because of that, it kind of enhances or increases the feeling you get when there are monks in there, for example, chanting or giving a soft whisper. So I think that that's one of the reasons why it's become a special place for them. Well, that emperor's inscription is from 261 BCE, and it dedicates that cave to these people, again, the Ajavikas. Now, this cave is also fully finished. The polished surfaces remain one of the best preserved examples of that culture's craftsmanship. So from this cave, we're going to go down a series of ancient steps that are carved into the rock. And then in a few minutes, we will spot a really remarkable sculpted arch that stands out from all the rest. Now, this cave is called the Lomas Rishi Cave. And this is the visual centerpiece of Barabar. There's a horseshoe-shaped facade, and that facade is embellished with a row of carved elephants approaching the stupa. Now, this entrance is one of my favorite entrances. It's very, very well created and preserved.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, this is one of the earliest examples of such detailed stone carving in Indian rock cut architecture. So, you know, eventually rock cutting becomes a big thing in India, and this is one of the earliest examples of how great it can be. Now, the front chamber in this cave is 36 feet long by 20 feet wide, and it has partially vaulted ceilings. It does have a rear chamber in the back, but it's unfinished. The excavation ends abruptly, and it sort of reveals an incomplete rock surface where you can just see still the carve marks in the stone. Now, the front portion that was finished, it still has that famous polish from that era, though there are some places in that have been worn down just from time and people messing with it. Now, if you venture deeper, you'll find that sudden beautiful perfectness abruptly transitions to unfinished rough rock where you can see the work was abandoned. And it's kind of uncertain why the work was abandoned.
They're very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
The strips of large granite that they're cut into are very neat. Like
just right, like huge like fingers rocks. In the yeah. Crazy, isn't it? Hmm. Yeah, so that back portion is partly unfinished, and the second chamber was never completed. And so it kind of like leaves you a glimpse of what it would have looked like mid-craftsmanship.
The back portion was a lot more of a dome than I was expecting. Like looked like a, what are the things at the large telescopes, an observatory?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of looked almost like that.
Yeah. These are all very impressive to be made 2,000 years ago, too.
The polishing on them, that's why I looked it up. I was like, I got to see how shiny this is. I mean, it's like a mirror.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard for me to imagine because I'm like, how can I imagine something that's better than what we could do now?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, whoa.
It looks like a mausoleum.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So if we head back outdoors from this cave, we're going to pass around another bend in the granite slope. And a short climb away, we're going to find the Vishwakarma Cave. And this is a more understated but historically significant cave. There's a modest rectangular entrance without any type of elaborate carvings like the last one. There are some ancient steps or pathways that can lead up to the cave, but you can kind of see where they've been likely worn by countless steps over centuries. Now, there are two rectangular chambers inside. Each are roughly 25 to 30 feet long, and they're 10 to 15 feet wide. The ceilings are slightly barrel vaulted, potentially lower than the last two caves. The walls are again polished, but still, there are parts that are not polished still, like as over time when people would mess with them, they're just not as good. There are signs of chipping and dullness from centuries of weathering. There are inscriptions in this cave as well, and that those inscriptions reference the cave's original dedication to these people. There's minimal ornamentation, which leads to a more it just makes it feel like the cave may have been used more for less religious purposes and maybe like to store things. Mm. The cave is fully finished. It has two straightforward designs, I guess, that suggest a very efficient evacuation approach. So they must have done it very quickly and very well. Now, all of these caves are extremely hard granite. So it would have been very difficult and time-consuming to...
How hard was it?
So hard, Josh. But it would have been really time-consuming to do that, you know, 2,000 years ago, manually, by carving at it.
Cable. They had to do something.
Right. Just carving at it, though, would take forever.
That's why when people are, like, studying the history, and they're like, oh, my God, it used to take people so long to do something. I'm like, right. Honey, they couldn't read. They didn't have nothing to watch, nothing to do. Like, for fun, once a month, go see someone get beheaded.
Right.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you're going to find a hobby.
Yeah, sure. I'll carve a chamber.
I got the time.
Right. So all of these caves shared that barrel vault and the dome-shaped chambers, which echo sound. And because of all that, it leads some to believe that these echoes in these chambers served as ceremonial or meditative purposes. So, like, maybe that's why the emperor had them made for these people, because it served that purpose for them. So it would have been an important place. Now, while modern machinery can replicate the shapes, the decoration and the craftsmanship behind each chisel mark, we just can't do that now. There are stories of hidden secret tunnels that stir up, like, my imagination when I think about all of this, just because, like, the locals will talk about, like, yeah, there are secret tunnels that will lead from one to the other.
Secret tunnels. But
there have been no confirmed tunnels or troves that have been found. Ultimately, these caves stand as a silent witness to an era of religious exploration, imperial power, and artistic genius. One of the things that really strikes me, I think, about all of them, again, is that these were made more than 2,000 years ago. And, like, there's sometimes, and also I think what also surprises me is that they were more recently discovered, just like within the last 50 or so years. So somehow, and by I say that, but then it always just means that there was some white person from the Americas, right, who discovered them. But meanwhile, everyone in India are like, oh, yeah, we know about them. We've always heard about them.
The Western world discovered them, but right, they grew up with them.
Yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, that's what really shocks me about them, is we just don't have a way to replicate. And that type of technology that they would have used to make them by hand has been forgotten about, so we're not even sure what they could have used to do it. It kind of reminds me of the Baghdad battery. Have you ever heard of it? Mm-hmm. It was this battery that was found in Baghdad, and I mean, it's from a few thousand years ago. I'll have to talk about it on another episode, because I feel like if you guys don't know what it is, I'm gonna have to share.
Sounds like a good mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there are technologies like that you find out about, and you're like, how did they make that a couple thousand years ago?
Right.
And then we haven't progressed it any from that point, or we've lost it, you know? So just it's just something to think about. I mean, my idea of 2,000 plus years ago is like hunter-gatherer type.
Right.
You know, maybe just a little bit better than that 2,000 years ago, I guess. But the idea that they are making and carving into granite and polishing it is just crazy.
I always judge history based on smell. Like the further you go back, the worse people will smell.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, go back to the 1950s. They'll smell all right. Yeah. Go back to the 1700s.
Not good.
Go back to the 1300s. Mm. Ooh, girl. Ooh, it's going.
But I'm sure you get desensitized.
Burn.
You get desensitized, I'm sure.
Well, you'd have to. I mean, not only did the people smell like death, but shits in the street, human and animal.
Right.
No air conditioning. No showers. God bless.
I couldn't have lived back then without my air conditioner.
Mm-mm. You had to. I mean, let's do a past life regression. That'll be Kim's memory. Oh, it's so hot. I hate it here.
It smells weird.
I was over at my aunt and uncle's the other day, and we were talking about burial plots out in the cemetery.
What a lovely
ride.
We were talking about, because they're going to get a bunch, for the family. And Scott was talking about one of them being underneath a tree. I said, oh, good, because you guys know how I don't like the heat.
I like the shade.
I need a shade tree.
That's funny. All right, guys. Well, we will catch you on Unmasked. And I have a good story to share for Unmasked.
I like this one. That was very interesting. I know a lot about interesting. India, but I've never, on Ancient Aliens, I've never
been
surprised. Did you guys see... Ancient Aliens Live is coming to Indiana.
No.
They'll be in Brown County.
Oh, wow.
I think it was April, May, or August. One of those three. I can't remember.
January to December,
I've looked up there's been a lot of things coming to Indiana that I'm like, ooh, how much is that? But, I mean, it was like $30 a ticket, but it's like the main people from Ancient Aliens and people talking about their story. I think it's where we went to...
Yeah, the concert place.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a nice venue.
It is a nice venue.
It's cute. It's easy to get in. I'll look it up
because I think yesterday I was like, ooh, don't, I've made a mental note. I was like, don't forget to tell them because this would be a fun.
Yeah.
We could document it for Patreon.
Go there and stay the night in the state forest.
Yeah. That would be good.
We'll have to get abducted by aliens.
Get probed. Get probed down.
What is the name of that? Do you remember? Brown County.
Well, guys, we will discuss it and talk about it on Unmasked today, along with some other things.
I'm Googling it now.
All right. Bye.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.